This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Well, yes, I can. Trying to turn my dollar to 100 grand. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Dayton, I say up on
yes. Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to a next edition that premieres on Guardian Radio every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochy Scrooge. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And we are powered by BTC. And if you want to text in, you can text at 422-GR96. That's the text line. Or 422-4796. And it's always a pleasure to be a host and to all the wonderful guests and listeners. It's just a great opportunity just to be able to speak to those who are listening and to also get some great feedbacks from the callers in the country who has so many solutions and ideas on how to make the country a better place, and their opinion are so important, I think, that we are changing the landscape of what's going on in our country. But today, our topic, we're going to talk about some programs that are going on in the country as the general election is nearing around the corner. SBP and FNM have started their campaign. Many are campaigning in different ways. There have been a lot of talks about rehirees of former persons on pension. Many people, you know, were really angry about that because they're saying that it can give so many others opportunity with the high salary and perks that are involved. But we are seeing a lot of action, the opposition. Michael Pintard is following the government footsteps and what they're doing in the country. Just recently, he was talking about the egg problem we're facing in the country, and it's criticizing the government. And, you know, so it's a lot of rhetoric going on. And I said today, I'll try and see how we can have a discussion on some of the programs, and then I will go further midway through the show to talk about some suggestions that I would recommend, as well as the general public who would call in, on what we'd like to see differently done in the coming election cycle. And if there's a government, new government elected, or this previous one repeats, what are going to be our demand? And I have my little list, one or two things, and then you as listeners could also comment on what y'all would like to see different, what can be added in your constituency to benefit your community, because you're going to the polls, and this is the only time you're really going to speak and have a voice, and probably both parties or coalition of independent, Lincoln being, they're also one of the front runners, and maybe could put some ideas in their head that if any one of these particular parties are successful, maybe we could see some changes. So one of the programs that I'm going to talk about is the Clear Hole in Bill. But before we begin the show tonight, I just want to play a clip to get the show started and also to get you guys involved in the conversation. Okay, go ahead, Chris. Thank you.
Critical parts of our grid are on the verge of collapse. We have an aging, vulnerable, deteriorating, expensive system dependent on heavy and diesel fuels that cannot meet. We understood that as urgent as change was, the quick short-term fixes that have been the historical pattern have not served our country well. We knew we needed comprehensive, innovative reform. Today, we are excited to share these policies with you, which include a foundational update to transmission, distribution in New Providence, so we can have a more stronger, more resilient, more modern, more efficient power grid. For the first time, utility-scale solar power in New Providence, solar power throughout our family islands. We believe we are well on the way to ensuring that a new energy era will lead also to a new economic era, a new era of opportunity for all.
Okay, that is one of the initiatives. They're trying to lower the cost of fuel efficiency in the country to make it more, better, and cheaper for Bahamian citizens who are experiencing a very tough time in the country when it comes to expenses in the country. As we know, we just came under COVID-19 period where the country was locked down for close to over a year. So, and we have not yet recovered, and there are a lot of people out there, families who are actually in dire need of assistance. But the enormous taxes, and the government is trying to do their best to reduce some costs of expenses in the country when it comes to super value and the VAT, bringing it down to about 5% on certain items in the food store. Now they're working on electricity, which is all good. So, like I say, all this is a step in the right direction. But as the show continues, I would add more spiciness to the conversation. Chris, could we play the next clip, please?
And today we are here to take another step toward our vision to make affordable housing a reality for Bahamian families. From day one, our goal has been to empower more Bahamians to pursue their dreams of home ownership. I want to thank Minister Keith Bell and Minister Lisa Ramamurthy for getting on with the work of our Blueprint for Change in making affordable housing a reality for Bahamians. As we maintain our focus on reducing the cost of living and creating more opportunities for Bahamians, affordable opportunities for home ownership are an essential component for our Blueprint era, more prosperous Bahamas. For many families, owning their first home is often the first step toward building wealth. Homes go on to become assets that they can pass on to future generations. Building equity can provide the foundation for future ventures. Unfortunately, home ownership has often been out of the reach for many hardworking Bahamians. We must resolve to change this reality. Every day, I see the challenges in your face. I see how the burden of high expenses often gets in the way of your dreams of home ownership. While we talk about these issues as a national issue, for you, they represent your personal everyday struggle. The government has a pivotal role to play in removing the barriers and securing opportunities for home ownership for as broad a cross-section of our population as possible. Our rent-to-own project is a cornerstone of our mission. It's about giving you a chance to own a home, even when traditional paths seem out of reach. The first homeowner's stamp exemption is another critical step. By waiving VAT duties on conveyance, we're directly reducing the cost for first homeowners. We didn't stop there. We have raised the exemption for stamp duty on homes up to $300, $300,000, and offered VAT refunds on construction materials and services. These aren't just policies. They are direct investments in our future, in your future, and in your ability to build and own a part of this beautiful nation. But our commitment to affordable housing goes beyond direct home ownership. It extends to better facilitating the transfer of land between family members and loved ones. Reducing VAT on property transfers and eliminating it on land transfers between joint tenants is about respecting your heritage and valuing the land passed down through generations. We welcome the Central Bank of the Bahamas' recent decision to ease guidelines for domestic banks and credit unions regarding residential mortgages. This move, reducing the minimum equity requirement and eliminating the mortgage indemnity insurance for lower down payments, is a significant step forward. It promises to lower the cost burden for many aspiring homeowners and expands credit access to additional qualified borrowers. This policy change, aligning with our government's commitment to affordable housing, marks a pivotal moment in making the Bahamian dream of homeownership more than attainable and financially manageable for our citizens. I know that for a long time, these guidelines have been a major barrier for many otherwise hardworking and responsible Bahamians. It is my hope that in making this adjustment, we have opened the door to accessible mortgages for many suitable families. Today, I'm happy to see the work getting done, witnessing firsthand the progress we are making in providing affordable homes for our people. This effort is not just about building houses. It's about building futures and ensuring that more Bahamian families have a place to call their own, where they can build their memories. In just 2 years, we have achieved more in this arena than was done in the previous four, a clear indication of our commitment and our resolve. This is about you, the Bahamian people, and your right to a secure future. Next month, we will welcome more new Bahamian owners who I look forward to. I understand the challenges, and I am here to face them with you. Our actions are focused on making your life easier and your dreams achievable. We are creating a country where every Bahamian can get ahead. Together, we are building a future where every Bahamian has a fair shot at success and stability. I want to thank you for your trust as we continue to work for you and with you.
You know, these are some of the programs the government are doing. Some of them are programs that, you know, all governments should be doing from the start of their governance, means when they win the election. This is what they're supposed to continue every year. Like I said, I feel that our government, you know, can say anywhere between 1,500 homes to 2,000 homes per year. So in a 10-year, as a 5-year period as the government of the Bahamas, you know, you could say that you have built about 8,000 homes or something close to that around the country besides Nassau, New Providence. So I think this is a step in the right direction. Also, the rent-to-own program. I think for those who are listening and those who are looking to probably buy a home or rent a home, you know, there are a lot of abandoned houses around in these inner city communities. Maybe you could find somehow to get some information, you know. This could open homes in the country to rent on, because, you know, sometimes rent, if you look at what you pay for rent from January to December, if you add it up in a year time, you know, some people spend close to about anywhere from $15,000, $20,000, and that's you know, just for paying rent, not like basically, I'd say anywhere from $350, $400 or something like that a week or something like that. I don't really have the mathematics, but I'm just giving a description. If you look at that and you say to yourself, wow, in 1 year, I paid rent. When you look at your rent slip and you say to yourself, man, you trying to tell me I spend close over $30,000? Some people spend $40,000, some people spend $50,000, some people spend close to $50,000, $40,000 in an apartment because some of the rents are really high. So when you look at that, you know, so think like this. If you got a good job, you and your wife, or the wife and the husband, or boyfriend and girlfriend who are both working, have something going on positive in their lives, means that they're working together to try and achieve what the prime minister suggested when he said he wanted an opportunity for all Bahamians to play in the playing field, right? So you can imagine, you say to yourself, you know, to the person who owned the house that you're probably renting from, you could get smart now. You could say, would you like for this person? I'm looking for a little, you know, I know some people send things expensive, so, you know, I must give them a little illustration what you can do. You know, because if you're spending $40,000 a year on rent, why not say, what if I rent to own it? You know, it could be an apartment with a couple little units. You know, you could get smart. You know, one of those, two of those units, you know, if you were to rent to own it, that means the owner don't have it no more. The bank is paying the payment off. The prime minister has suggested that they have signed and made deals where the bank has to give low interest and give loans, you know, to Bahamian people and make it at a lower cost. So this is a great opportunity, you know, for you guys to strategize, you know, once you're thinking positive, and you could say, man, you know, I like the rent to own it, you know, and if the owner agrees on a reasonable price, you know, it could take you probably 10 years, 15 years, but you might could do it faster because if you were to rent to own it, now you own it, the owner don't have to come there no more because his funds are going straight to his account. He or she funds are going straight to the account. So now what you have to do, you could strategize and your payment plan, what you're supposed to be paying for 15 years, you might could reduce that easily because now you have units on the property, right? So now you could rent, but you have to have a heart. Now, you know, you got to say, I could keep this room, the section for me. I have 3 units. I like to add on 2 more onto that. And this unit here, these 2 units here, I'm going to charge these 2 individuals the cheapest prices as possible and work with them as long as they're working with me and treating me fair. You know, so I would use that money to pay my rent on. So those 2 units there, I'd say, yeah, well, my buying payment is coming up. I have to pay $800 or $600 this month. So these 2 units here that I rent out, I could use this money here, right? And use these 2 units here, and the money I receive from these 2 tenants, I'm gonna transfer that over to the bank. So the bank, so I'm gonna tell you 2 tenants, do not pay me. Just this is my account, and send it right to the bank. So you would be paying for your rent to own of 2 tenants. So you gotta be creative, you know? Now the only thing I'm saying is that the property might be a little expensive, but what the government is talking about overall is that there are properties around the country and there are people who want to sell their home, but no one is talking rent to own. But you just want rent. See, you're just thinking rent. You know, I need a place to stay, right? These people want to sell. But you're thinking rent because you're not programmed in your mind to say rent to own. Because, you know, since you stay in an apartment in 10 years or 15 years and 20 years and on rent, you got to have the house 10 times over. You understand where I'm coming from? So think of the box, you know, be strategized if you're going to rent on one. Rent something and build some units and use them for collateral and then you're still working so your money could go to watch your own expenses. And then you have a next room there And you set a room there is to make sure that that could pay for your electricity, you know, for the establishment. You know, because people who, some people are smart with their apartments. For each apartment, it pays off a bill. Some people use the apartment where they rented somebody saying, what? I'm going to pay the light bill for the whole apartment. And this person who rent, when they pay me, I'm going to use that and pay the rent for the whole apartment. So some apartments, an Airbnb, they have AC, they have TV, they come furnished. So you would save more. And also, you would be having a good, honest living, and you won't have to be so stressful, going out there looking for work. You have turned yourself into a business person. Even though you rent to own, you are now a business person with different revenue streams coming from each one of these apartments that you have created just by rent to own. So, and government is doing these programs and stuff like that. Even though we get this grant, got out. Look at what they have to offer. And you have to make an effort to listen, go do your research, and follow up on these things, because the prime minister's out there and he's telling you these things, right? And even though we are frustrated in the country, some of us are just playing dead. And we are saying that the government is not doing nothing for us, the church is not doing nothing for us. Maybe that is true, right? But maybe you are not doing enough to go and follow up on this rent-to-own and being part of this program, even though it's be a little difficult. You know, we know that in these political parties, you have party members who will look out for their members and friends, so the homes and stuff like that. You feel that you want to own, you will not get a chance because the other people are politically connected, and you feel that you would be pushed out. And maybe that is true. That has been going on for a long, long time in our country. But don't give up. You know, don't give up. That is true. But do not give up. You know, strategize, you know, Bahamians. Don't just play that. Look at something, see how you can manifest in your brains and say, you know what, let me do something constructive. Come up with your own ingenious way, you know, to come up with creative ideas that could benefit you and your community and your family and set your future up for life, you know. So there's many options to this that could be really very beneficial. The government of the Bahamas now is talking about lowering loans and being more open to first-time homeowners, because the government is negotiating with the banks on the high rate and mortgage and rent to own. So all these things now available for you guys, you know. So it's a step in the right direction. And mind you, I don't think this is an election ploy, because they were doing this in the second year. So this is just a continuation. But this is to spice it up, to get the voters, you know, to believe in the party and to vote for them, because they need to win the next election. So, like I say, it's a program for all Bahamians. And like I said, it's getting close to election time, and the government is doing everything they can to persuade, even though they're assisting in some areas. But now, you know, with all those scandals going on, the government has really been on a tear, like trying to please the Bahamian people. I don't know if it's going to be enough, but all I'm saying to you as citizens, take advantage of the opportunities that the government has put there for you. And don't say they're not doing nothing for you. Yes, like I said, they're not doing nothing for you, but if you try a little hard, there's something that government has put out there, or that government, there's a government program. And we listen to Bahamzy, we have opportunities in Bahamzy. You know, they want to take on students. I know all that. You know, I didn't know all that when Omar come on, you know. So you got to look at what government has to offer. Even though you're... So, yeah. That's one area. Also, I want to talk about the next government program. I'm just giving you all a little update on what's going on the Clear Hole and Bill Initiative. I just was to meet at the Ministry of National Security with Dr. David Allen and Kiva Bedell. And in attendance, we had AC Rahman, I think it's Rahman, yes. And he was briefing us on matters of the most importance by the Ministry of National Security. What else can I say? And the Clear Hole and Bill Initiative, where, according to Mr. Rami, the initiative now has moved to a different community, but they were just recently working in Angleston, where they had a few murders in that area. And according to what he was saying, the strategy was to bring social service in, the police, the Ministry of Environment, and et cetera, to canvas the area, to remove derelict vehicles, to identify abandoned houses, to clean up the community, and also to patrol through each and every corner, and to also do community policing. And he stated this is a program that is to intensify the police presence and also for the police to be more community-minded and to get the citizens involved in the program because it's for them, you know. So it's a good program, you know. Just hope that it continues to be consistent. In that, I think they are looking to repair abandoned homes in these particular areas and turn them into low-cost homes that can be repaired, and abandoned yards that family members or some resident who was living there many years back has not been keeping their property clean. I think the government make you offer to buy it and turn it into something useful for the community. So it's a great initiative. You know, I don't know if it's going to be enough to win the next general election, but I'm just talking overall and what they're doing. And then we have here the Ministry of Environment. I want to give a shout out to my good friend, Elroy Bryce. You know, we were out in the community today. And this initiative, you know, because I'm in the community and I'm watching because I do this stuff. You know, I do this stuff in my community that I reside in. In fact, this is some of the recommendation we made to the Office of the Prime Minister when we did the urban design lab. So all of this is starting out of that guideline back about 10, 15 years ago. 10, 15 years ago, yes. I was trying to remember something. Yeah, and that was to help improve the community. Yeah, so what I was going to say now, on top of the clear coal and bill, rent own, talk about energy reform. Yeah, let me finish with the Ministry of Environment and the clear coal and bill. There are thousands of rats in these inner city communities, and we've always been slow down the population of rats in the country, whether it's Angleston, whether it's Camp Road, whether it's Fox Hill, whether it's Bay Street. But the inner city is loaded with millions and millions of rats, and they're causing millions in damage. Also, a lot of people are getting sick from rat feces and rat, you know, pee, because, you know, these rodents are very crafty in how they can get in your house. And most of the homes in the inner city, you know, is highly densely populated. And many of the homes, you know, are damaged, either rotten roof or rotten floor or rotten boards. And then on the side of your house, it's an abandoned yard with cars and garbage. So centipedes, so these insects would actually go inside the homes of residents in these inner city community. So that's why the Clear Coal and Bill Initiative is a good initiative as well, because it would eliminate a lot of derelict vehicles. It would identify abandoned homes in the community that can again be refurnished if it could. It also brings a closer connection with the communities. Because now, earlier today when me and Elroy was around in the community, the Ministry of Environment were riding around in the back of a truck, stopping door to door, giving out rat poison. Every home they went to in the Lewis Creek, Hayes Creek, and Taylor Creek area. So they're going door to door. So this is the next program that is beneficial to the BMN people. This rollout, you know. And then, you know, we're seeing a lot, like I said, a lot of abandoned lots are being completely cleared down around the country. If you look on Tonic William Highway coming down from Robin Hood, you would see the whole stretch is being pushed down from the tractor, which is very good because people can be walking, cars can break down, and then these bushes are there. And this is very dangerous being on the highway. There are bushes on the side of the road. You don't know who or what is lurking in the dark. And then they spot a lady who car probably get a tire flat on Tony William Highway. She pulls over. It's dark. Some guys who dead drunk coming from the club who don't have nothing good on their mind. Spot her. See her. Spin back around. She say, I don't need the help. I'm calling my boyfriend or calling my brother. Person get agitated. These things happen. We got some people with some serious issues in the country. Okay? I just using this as an illustration. And then they get harassed and carried right in the bush. So on the side of the roads going on these main roads, shouldn't have no trees. I also see Cable Bahamas on the scratch between the Mall of Marathon and the highway. They have also cleared down that intersection that had a lot of grass so that you can see from the main road to the next road. All this is a safety precaution, you know, that I think is a good initiative. You know, this is a step in the right direction. And again, I'm just talking with the programs. I'm not pulling for the political or rhetoric, okay? I'm talking with the programs that are beneficial to Bahamians that are being provided so that we can at least see some of the things they are doing, and then I'm going to talk what they need to do even more. So we're going to take this one call on Guardian Radio. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Go ahead, Scrooge. It's a pleasure. Just hearing you always being a committed voice, advocating on behalf of the inner city, Mandel, here, bro.
Yes, but you say, man, you asked Flash, brother. You had a wonderful program the other day on Hay Street Park. I want to commend you for coming on and helping out the community, you know. Me and Nate worked out in that community very, very, very like yourself, see the need to come in this inner city community and also to give back, you know. So thank you, man. So,
but I wanted to commend you because you're here every Friday being a voice for the inner city, and that in itself speaks volumes, Scrooge. And so I just wanted to call in and commend you and tell you thank you for the tireless work that you do in the community as a leader. And being a voice for the community, man, and meaning it. Yep. So congratulations on just a job well done always, brother. From one brother to the next, man. Mm-hmm. We've come a long way, and we got a good way to go. But if only to stop and tell each other thank you, sometimes it's fuel for us to keep going, you know?
Yes. Yeah, man.
So continue to do the great work that you're doing, brother.
Thank you, man. That's Manuel, you know, great guy. Looking to someday be a respected politician who I think would be very committed to helping develop these communities. For me, I work with anyone, any government that comes in power, right? Because I'm a community leader. I watch government come and go. I watch prime ministers come and go. I watch ministers of national security come and go. I watch ministers come and go. But you know what? Community work never stops. So persons like Manuel, you know, who's vying for political office, you know, because they have a desire that they want to do more. And they feel that in this field, that if they can get in the rhetoric, they're not going to be like the rest. Now, that's going to be a hard thing to prove, okay? But there are some people who are genuine and sincerely want to help, just don't have the opportunity. But you start small. So Manuel, you know, is looking to be the representative, I think, for the Free National Movement. to be the nominee or the candidate for that particular community. You know, I said it early, but I think, you know, if given a chance, I'm not pulling for nobody I know personally. I don't pull for political parties, but if a party is doing some great work, I support them. If there are programs that are beneficial as a community leader, that's my job. You know, I can't pick side. I only can pick what's right. So if there are programs out there that I can get from government that can be transferred from my hands or some organized or some private organization hands to get to help people in the city community, you call it by partnership. And by partnershiping with different entities means guys like Manuel, who just calling us now, if he's successful, you get some more stuff done because he'd be more committed. And that's what we need to understand. We have to listen to the agenda from the overall achievement of the community. And I've put that aside. You know, I put my own personal differences aside because I know that governments come and go, but communities stay the same. They stay. And community persons like myself who are committed to helping any way possible, if I could. You know, as long as I live and I have strength, make sure that my arms are strong, my legs are strong, my heart is strong, and it stays pure. You know, continue to help and build as much as I can. So, yeah, you know, gentlemen, we'd hear from him in a few months when it get down to the silly season, we call it here in the country. But again, Manuel, man, enough respect, man. I wish you the best. I support you because I'm a community leader. We're going to have some debate also. This time coming around, I'm going to have Mr. Watson and the candidates from the Free National Movement, from the Coalition of Independence. They're going to be in our communities on the parks, and they're going to ask some questions from me, who's the community leader. And they're going to put some things what we like to see happen in the community. So Coalition of Independence, the Free National Movement, and the current member of Parliament, they will be by my restaurant as a community leader. I'd have the community assembled with all the young persons in that community up in my area. And we're gonna negotiate for our vote. We're gonna demand more for Lewis Street, H Street, and Taylor Street. We're not gonna sit around no more and just say, you know, they're gonna do this. The government, no, we are gonna get together as a team, be diplomatic with this. One voice is going to speak. Everyone is going to be listening. We're going to be real professional. We're going to ask questions without getting agitated or getting mad. And we're going to stick to what we want to see happen in Lewis Street, H Street, and Taylor Street. And we're going to ask the member of parliament, Mr. Wade Watson. We're going to ask the candidate from the Free National Movement, I hope it's my friend Manuel, how can they help fulfill what we want to happen in our community? We need a garbage truck, for one, that is consistently in the Lewis Street, A Street, and Taylor Street area. And maybe it could be revoted to a different group. We want one for us, just for us, because sometimes the 4 days, which government has speeded up now, the Ministry of Environment is really doing a fantastic job now. Don't get me wrong. There's too much garbage that builds up. So our community need our own garbage truck, okay, to deal with our problem in our community so it don't overfill. Our community need a bin to be supplied every week in our community, or the 365 days to be pointed around when we see persons who buying furniture, they live in an apartment, even though we just claim the community, and you know, they're moving in, they train, they're so forth, but there's no company that can remove the furniture. You have to hire a guy who has a truck, which is $80. Okay? Which is, like I said, is $80. So we would like have our own private dumpster besides the garbage truck, where it could be rerouted anywhere in the community that we see trash and put it to any home, so that they can remove their garbage, so that it don't build up again. We want a clean, pristine community. We want a community clean up on a regular basis. We want persons to monitor the community to make sure that once we clean up a spot, no one throws no garbage there again. So all these things, we could do that as a community. That's what you're doing now. So we're going to demand more. We want to also implement small business in our small community. Lewis Street, H Street, and Daly Street, those who are interested in business and willing to sacrifice by coming to the meetings, even though some of the funds might be freely donated, you're not going to get it freely. You're going to have to work for it. Means you would have to come to classes, undertake training courses, but hospitality, money management. And these things are what we will be requesting from the candidate and the member of parliament. So we are changing the dynamics. This is a strategy that I'm putting together for our community. And we're not fighting against no. We're fighting against a corrupt government. A corrupt government who's treating us bad. See, this is going to stop for us and our little small community. We're going to get together. And we ain't demanding, you know, we're asking. But you wouldn't get the vote from us. We want after-school programs. Nate is doing a wonderful job at after-school programs and in the city community. Every day, Nate out there. Okay? Using money out his pocket. And private partners. We want the park active. We want the churches to be involved. Huh? So, yeah, we're going to demand more. So, BMA people, that's what to do. Just get together and demand some things that you need to see happen in your community. You know? And write it down and strategize. Get together as a group and say, you know, let's ask some questions, see if we get some things done. You might have a spot around the corner where it needs a light. The little girl, Ariel, the other day, who was brutally murdered, there was no light there. Or, you know, you could have a program where you say, we would also like for a program to assist the old people in the community, you know, like what we're going to do for them and how we're going to keep them involved in the growth and development of the community. You know, this kind of stuff you got to ask for, you know, we only looking to go to the polls and vote. Why in each community you start to ask more, you know, strategize, not to fight against the party, you know, just demand certain things as a small organization. We need some things to happen around here, and this is what we'd like to see happen. If you want to get our vote, this is what you're going to have to work on in order to get our vote. So it's up to us now, BMN people. You know, there's things that you could write down that your community needs and make it a priority that when the candidates come around, you could present these. And they could take these back to their and say, these stuff the people are asking for, you know. So yeah, ask more. So that's what we were doing. And we're not fighting against government. I'm not telling nobody don't vote for the FNM. I'm not telling nobody don't vote for the PLP. That's their decision. The only thing I'm doing, I'm representing them, asking, can these things happen if you're elected? And what guarantee that when you get elected, you will fulfill these agreements? But we'd have everything recorded. And we're not going to use that as a mechanism to threaten nobody in government. No, that's not our way. Our way is just through a diplomatic, ask for certain things that we need for our community. And like I said, I'm never ever gonna tell no one, vote for the PLP. I'm never ever gonna tell no one, vote for the FNM. I did that like 25, 30 years ago. Not no more. I wouldn't use my small little respect that people have for me to jeopardize that, to say, I'm going to tell people vote for their, tell people to vote for the PLP. No. It has to be their decision. But the only thing I'm doing as a leader, I'm presenting that what is beneficial to us, as a community. I separate that from politics. So when these MPs come and candidates come, I'm only making about the decision for those, the PLP, when they come to the meeting, and when the FNM come to the meeting, the decision is upon the people who are there present. I can make my decision on who I'm going to vote on, but I'm not going to use my influence to tell the guys them don't vote for the FNM or to tell the guys don't vote for the PLP. No, that is not what I'm doing. I'd be the head. I'm not. That's a decision on the whole group based on how both parties, the three parties, present themselves and see and the people themselves who we gather. That's their decision, and that's what we have to do in this country, you know, and that's fair. That's fair. So demand more, you know, demand more. No one buying no votes from us, you know. If you want to leave something for the boys, them, dog, have some fun with. But the bigger goal is to get the minister to invest in small business in the small community that I reside in. These are things I'll be asking for. How can we get the small business development inside Lewis Street, H Street, and Taylor Street that the government is providing? How could we get some of these houses around here to be rent-owned? How many small businesses that by purchasing and buying and setting up for the same young gentleman who would be sitting on asking questions to the opposition, asking questions to the government, and how both or three political party, the Coalition of Independent, how can they benefit from them participating in the general election? And why should we consider you over the PLP? Why we should consider you over the FNM? Why we should consider you over the Coalition of Independence? Because present. People, stop complaining. You got the power. If you live in Mason Edition, huh? Get together with a little crew. Start just saying what we need to happen. You see some things that are not right in your community. But you're always complaining. Togetherness. Once you start to pull together, all kind of ideas can come. And then your friendship can start to build because you're in a positive environment. Then you see a community change. So, yes, just want to mention that. Okay. Talking about the Ministry of Environment. Like I said, they were going door to door to Lewis Street, H Street, and Taylor Street. So, these are some great initiatives that the government is doing. Okay. Now, listening to people talking. Free National Movement is in the heads of the BMN people, along as well as the Coalition of Independence. We all know that the two major political parties, PLP and FNM, they both have over 50,000 people who are part of their party. And there's core people who are just PLP and FNM. The Coalition of Independence, you know, has less than that. They might have anywhere between 5,000 to 10,000, might be more people who might be supporting them, but we got to understand it don't work like that to the polls, you know. You could have 50,000 people, but you need to win in different jurisdictions in order to become the government of the Bahamas. You know, you need to at least win over 27 seats in order to be the government of the Bahamas. So that means you have to have a wider, broad directory where people supporting you in Freeport. They support you in Abaco. They support you here in Nassau and abroad, especially in the city community. And you have numbers in Anglestown. You have numbers in Fox Hill. You have numbers like that. And both PLP and FNM has that. The coalition is spread out across the Bahamas of people who are really concerned of what's happening in their country. And the reason why I would say, you know, they'd have less is because the two major parties have been around for close to about 50 years. Their longevity of being the major parties in the country. Most of the most successful people in the country, whether it's doctors, whether it's lawyers, whether it's police, whether it's contractors, they have a connection to these parties. and they dedicate themselves to these parties. And the parties them are big and strong and have multiple multi-millionaires in these parties. So that's why when I'm saying, you know, only God really can help the coalition of independence when it comes to that, because when you go against these two political parties, the PLP and FNM, they get doctors, they get lawyers, they are former prime ministers, they are former governor generals on both sides. Some of them, they marry into one another. So that's a lot of money both parties have. You know? And then they have their street generals and started councils and delegates. So, you know, that is what would overshadow the coalition of independence because of the pure numbers, the power people inside the parties, you know. You get the Frankie Wilsons, you know. You get the Christies, you know. Or in the Free National Movement, you get the Simonettes and, you know, Hollowesco. You know, a lot of powerful flowers, powerful multimillionaires in both of these parties. And I could give you a prime example that I'm talking about. You remember when Granville McCartney was the Minister of Immigration and the Honorable Prime Minister at that time, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram, you know, he and Mr. McCartney had a little argument, you know, because I think McCartney was overshadowing the Prime Minister because, you know, he was on that immigration. And, you know, he put on a suit and he was walking through with the police and, you know, he got called in. And then from then on, Ingram and Granville were at war. But I also remember this. Ingram said, before you think you become Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, he gave the boy Mr. Christie. And boy, did he surely do it. Okay, we're going to take this call on the line on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Go ahead, caller.
The great Scoochie, what's happening, man?
Good night to you, sir. Thank you.
All right. Now, Scoochie, you know you are well respected. You know that's a real reality show.
Yes, sir.
But something you were saying just now was what the problem is with this country for 52 years.
Yes, sir.
We suck up under the oil and all them things and all them Guinness and all them fried chicken and ham and things what they was giving us, what they've been giving us.
Yes, sir.
And it has gotten our country $13, $14 billion in debt. We broke. We ain't got no money. We got 30, 40,000 people unemployed. All kind of foreigners coming in. These are the same people you was just calling just now. But I can give you a little scenario.
Go ahead, sir.
Let's just say a marriage that has gone bad. And every time the wife tried to say, man, honey, I love you. Let's make it up. He tell her, he beat her. Man, he got a nice home, nice cars, children going to college, all that stuff like that. But he keep abusing this woman. And then one day he come home.
And she gone.
The woman gone. She can't close.
No, she doesn't get on there.
She just want ghetto there.
So
well, that is the position the Bahamian people
Yes, sir. That's what I was saying. Go ahead, sir.
Brent Simmons of them could have all the money and thing and whoever you call in the world, let me see them. Because the majority of us who win election for them, over the hill.
Yes.
It's more of us over the hill. We're tired of them than what over on Bay Street. Okay. And thanks for taking my call, Scrooge.
Yes, sir. Yeah, there are a lot of big-time PLPs, big-time Free National Movement. So I'm just giving the dynamics on what is going on in the country and where the power is and how much people are part of a party. So the Coalition of Independence, like I said, that's the challenge they face. Lincoln being need more millionaires. He need more people around the country who are in all of these fields, you know, because together it can be stronger, you know. You need great funds to run an election, but you never know. People, like the caller said, people are tired. You know, he's saying about the Bay Street Boys. You know, I'm also mentioning all around. I'm talking with both parties, because in both parties, you have Mongols, you know, Tiger Finneson, you know, you have the Wilsons. You have so many. You know, when you look on the TV, there are big players on both sides of the table. You know, some are good, decent people. Now, don't get me wrong, but that they are business people. You know, they are mongrels. You know, and people follow them. Some people would kiss their foot, you know, just to get a dollar and turn their box on the BMing people. You understand? Friends, they were turning on and box star because they trying to get close to that end. Us being destroying our country, you know, we have to have a country of pride again. We have to have a country again where I want to uplift my brother, not to downlift him, you know, and that's been happening in our country, you know, for the last 50 years in our country. I'm not pulling for the PLP. I'm not pulling for an FNM. And like I said, I am a community leader. I've been working with various different governments over the years. Free consultancy, many programs that I've been doing now in the country have come with my assistance and my input, along with many others in the country as well. But at the forefront, I've been there. And I've done it freely for many, many, many years in this country. So I know that if we continue to strive as a country, meaning take advantage of the opportunity that presents itself. Look around you and open up your eyes and be creative. Okay? Don't just play dead. There's opportunities over here. And like they call us that, you know, we are tired. BME people are tired, you know. So I just wanted to say that. We're going to take this next call on Guardian Radio. Go ahead. Good night.
Good night, Scrooge. How you doing, man?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Good night. Good night.
Yeah. Hey, a little short of breath tonight, though.
Okay.
Hey, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
The good president next door, Donald Trump, right?
Yes, sir.
You say you want Canada? Mexico, to be named the Gulf of America.
Yeah.
In the beach in there. I was reading for him to say he wanted that Bahamas down there. That's the Saudis. That's all these, right? Borders, right?
Yes, sir.
Because this foolishness has been going on from time I remember myself. Giving this country away to Haiti. You know, America ain't classified Haiti yet as a terrorist state, but they ain't long now. Mm. And you know what the problem going to be? Then they got the terrorists in here. Because this government, what happening is, they allow any one of them to come in here.
Mm.
They ain't checking who is who.
Mm.
You know? And it ain't cool. The military up here ain't sufficient to do the job.
Mm.
America's only hope to get this country cleaned up because our politicians been playing this game on us over and over and over and over. No matter PLP, FNM, they flip it on the next side and chuck us out of it. You know, this foolishness need to stop, man. And I think the only solution is for America to take this here country. Because these corrupt people who run in it, they corrupt, and they're showing that they'll never change. Have a nice night, man.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call. You know, a lot of people just expressing themselves going on in the country, you know. You can't really blame them, you know. People are tied up to parties, you know. And, you know, even though we go ping-pong with the PLP and the FNM the last 25 years, and we've not had a two-term government from Hubert Ingham repeated back in the 90s, and, from 92 to 98, I think so. And, you know, we really have to ask more and demand more in our country. All right, and now I want to say one more thing, what I was going to talk about. One of the nutty initiatives that I see that the government has initiate 160,000 people to get free medicine. So let me read on this. This is the next government initiative. Non-communicable diseases targeted in new health care plan. The Davis administration has announced plans to expand health care access, saying more than 160,000 Bahamians with chronically non-communicable diseases. Holy crap. Chris, you hear that? 160,000 people in this country of chronic non-communicable disease will receive free prescription medicine. Well, by damn. You hear that? Most half the population? What the? Whew. Maybe y'all listening to this. Y'all, there's some serious stuff. I see why no bearers be in the hospital. I see why the nurses them, they're tired, and the doctors them restless. And why they still want to pay it. I see why. We eating bad. Boy, we need a serious revamp in this country. Y'all ain't reading no spare pay people. And far as getting the free medicine, this is the Bahamas. I've always said this. Our taxes, what you pay, your car insurance, your license, your electricity bill, your whatever cable bill and stuff that you're paying, okay? That should be able to help pay for the free medical assistance you're getting from the Princess Margaret Hospital. That's what collecting taxes is all about. You collect taxes, then you use it for the benefit of the Bahamian people. And I think that healthcare should be free in the Bahamas, across the board. I think that electricity, like BPL, should be free for the Bahamian people because we pay taxes. I believe the phone station, telecommunication, I think that should be free as well. I think we have zero taxes on items in the food store. You know, if we eliminate 5 or 6 of these expenses, the cost of living go down considerably in this country. And the way to do it, the administration is making amendments. I'm seeing they're doing it. We need a government who's going to find a way. Because you know, we could talk all we want on the radio, but it's very difficult to do some of these things that we're talking about. But you have to make it a mandate to eradicate light bill payments, to eradicate the telecommunication payment, you know, to eradicate electricity bills in the country. Let the government subsidize this. Means that the Bahamian people are paying high taxes across the board, right? The taxes the government collect, like I say, it's very difficult, but this is a great solution. Use that to eradicate those bills of the Bahamian people in the country. If there's investment being made by many of these cruise port companies, hotels, and buyers from around the world, hey, ask them if you want to invest in the country and you want to lease this land for 100 years, okay? Put something here so we could free electric for all Bahamians in the country. And then with housing, small business, because we the people, the poor people, are the disadvantaged. It will be for us, sir. It won't be for you all politicians who are multimillionaires. Okay? It would be for us. It would be for us. It would give us an opportunity because you guys them don't need it. And this would give us an opportunity. And this way we could deal with some of our problems in our inner city communities. Now with the deduction of light bill, bought off grocery items, pay via free telecommunication. In other words, I think when the former Prime Minister of the country, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingram, I think when I listen, I think the government get 49% and the company get 51%. So if the Bahamas government get 49% and the major company who now is in charge of the telecommunication has 51%, well, in there, we could say, I don't know if they can renegotiate now because, you know, that deal was signed until the contract out, but you could probably go and look at it and say, you know what? We reduce it from 49%, and we take it down to 45 or 44, and just say, you know, it's free for the Bahamian people. Go back, look at the contract. If we get 49%, because I think that's what, when I listened a few years ago when Ingram was in power, he said that 49% and then 51% was to the those investors who purchased the cable company. So use our taxes. Decrease some expenses in the country by removing electricity. BM should not be paying for electricity. We shouldn't be paying for the phone. Because these companies that comes in the country come here, and sometimes the government gives them deal and government might be paying them. So what we can do now is use the taxes that are collected from the Bahamian people, revoke that to the company, the BPL, and let that be paying BPL instead of collecting the money from the residents in the country. And then we could be able to make it in this country. You know, Gaddafi did it. Qatar did it. You know, There's something that's got to be taken away. Electricity should be free for Bahamian people in this country. Water should be free in this country for Bahamian people. Cable should be free for Bahamian people in this country. Because all these are government partnership corporations. So if they're government partnership corporation, then why not? The taxes that we collect can pay off these debts so that Bahamian got free electricity, free cable, free water. And it saves so much money. We're going to take this next call. Red caller, you're on Inside In City. Good night, sir. What's up?
Give thanks and praises. You know, your boy, your fellow community, your brother, you know what you're saying? I was listening, and I didn't make a little dash for a couple of minutes to come back.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's right, man. You know, you're relentless, you know, and so we have to notice that. And I was in Mason the other day. I was traversing through, and I my mind automatically went on you. There was some tourists coming down the step.
You see them?
You know, there's some steps run. There's some steps close to East Street. Then there's the one in the middle, and then there's one to the far east, right?
It's four. It's actually four.
Well, I thought it was three, but then I run from the police up and down through there because I know they're farting, they're out of breath sometimes, so you run that way.
That's the woman Marvin Body, is it?
That's long time, years ago, my friend. By Jude. I run straight by
Jude. That's Jude. That's the short steps.
But I thought it was three. But you know that's the area, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, man, you know, and the tourists was coming through right where Sleepy Them Corner used to bus. Where Sleepy used to hang out. We prepared a little, the bar with the below the, like, the trailer. The blue corner is the corner right there, man. You know, in the corner, the first corner that you make when you come to McCullough Corner.
Yes. I know what you're talking about now.
And my mind going on the vision, which you was dealing with still. So I was like, man, schools, you really know what's going on. And they're scared. So I was like,
no, they walk in.
It could be so enhanced if they have, like, the neighborhood patrol, like,
yes.
Maybe normal people. The people could come in the area and just socialize it. The two of them really wonder because, I can't say where they're from, but they look more like Europeans to me. Simply because how they dress.
They walk in all
the time. And they're comfortable in the area.
Fast, so, Wolf Road.
Yeah, and so, you know, like my mind going on these, you know, they had all these stories back in the days. You know, when I read Sahari Oak's book, there was also always a lot of stories about over the hill and spreading propaganda on the Negro population, trying to just impede the people from coming over and socializing, saying the girls had gonorrhea, you know, and avoid going to these, the conch shell and the cat and the fiddle and the yellow bird and all these places.
Yes.
And so, you know, I old enough to know about the King and Knights and all them things and out Balmoral Beach and all them things because my grandma used to work there. But I'd like to say this, right? As it relates to healthcare, right, Scoochie?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
They showing us they don't care, you know, because, I mean, when they sit and listen to you, that's what we have to be aware of healthcare.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's a scare. And I listen to GNN and I listen, you know, everybody at a different stage in life. We are just running. We be doing different things on the planet. Everybody is consumed with something that's subsumed, whatever, right? But we must remember that one day, you see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That time will come, smart or dumb. It's the same outcome. And the neglect and the lack of unity within the community and the people, et cetera, the general populace. And so lack of unity is a politician's paradise. Me and you know that, Scoochie.
Yes, sir.
We can see that, you know. And so we're facing the same dilemma. And when you look at the extravagant expenditures by all governments, right, not just here, but, I mean, the neglect of the people, and I listen to these things. And some of these things, it really hurt my heart to know that some of these things you're saying really is true, right, Scoochie? And people just make it look like nobody's contributing, but everybody's paying for it. And I just came out of the mall with my little children.
Mm-hmm.
I have children, so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I buy stuff like for my shop and things like that. So I'm looking at what I'm putting in versus what I'm getting out. So there's no reciprocity. If I take sick, you know, I mean, you know, Scoochie, you know how healthcare goes. It's expensive. So I don't feel people could think they have enough money in this world and how they set it up. You know what I'm saying?
I'm operation expensive.
For us to get sick. And the system will fail. And so I was trying to paint a picture as to what GNA was saying and doing. I've been saying it while on the radio, right? There's a monopoly going on. Well, GNA hinted to the fact that, but I really would like to hear from GNA about that. I'm not totally ignorant too, but I guess when he was calling the numbers as it relates to the condition your kidneys in, there's a threshold, I guess. He said the number 30. There's a threshold of maybe filtration, et cetera, that determines the condition of the kidneys, and I'd like for him to expand on that. But, like, with the MRIs, there's a monopoly going on because, think Scoochie, me and you're supposed to be from the road, right? If they don't put an MRI in the doctor, in the hospital, and only certain private people have it, what does that mean, Scoochie?
That's racism.
What does that simply mean? That's a monopoly.
Yes, that's
and it's
racism.
Designed that way because it was too long and the hospital doesn't have an MRI machine. An MRI machine, to me, must have cost $1 trillion because, you know, I mean, and they would, I don't want anyone to gaslight me and talk about the MRI.
But
the MRI.
In private practice,
I know what it's for. I don't,
and it's a couple other,
like me, Scoochie.
Let me ask you a question.
Educated people really, really think that they can gaslight everyone. That's what I heard about them. I've been reading books longer than some of them being living, and they can tell me. But you don't need, I don't hear nothing with no tests. I know what the MRI could do. I know the new enhancement of the MRI with feeding algorithms from collecting data, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And also, well, any other form of scam, whatever testing, but let's get it together and show the people some love.
Yes,
because,
sir.
You know, when I look at it, it's a monopoly, and it's a reason for that.
It is.
CNN was saying the same thing. All the dialysis centers popping up all over the place, but all of a sudden we can't afford to keep dialysis.
I was going to ask you a question just now, but anyone give me a chance? As I ask you, the hospital don't have no MRI machine, but we have a lot of private clinics MRI machine. How's that? How's the hospital does not have none, but private practices?
Scoochie, that's why I was telling you to let's use our brains. This is simple enough. You see, I really don't need no agreement here, but use my brethren. If what it simply means for me is that's a way for them to keep making money because they know at the hospital it can probably be for $500, but don't make it look as if the normal middle class or people just can't go in and pay $300, $400, $500, $600. To get an MRI, but don't tell me 1500 because you just again, MRI is the only thing with the injury. I've been getting over too long. Next thing you can tell me, too, what you're talking about, what I'm saying is it enhances and is able to catch diseases in the track before it becomes too late. Because
yes.
What you mean? You know what I mean now? You got the CAT scan, all these different things, ultrasound, all them things are important, but the ultrasound is not that invasive. And the CAT scan, you have to drink a fluid. So all these things they're looking at the MRI is not invasive. Because it's a renaissance.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, the people them think be stupid, and your brethren bragging, but they ain't open up. Along this, they ain't these multi-trillion-dollar projects supposed to take to open up mass. But when the hospital is being, hey, listen to the people them, you know. I mean, when the disclosures made on Steve McKinney by GNN show, it broke my heart. You know, it broke my heart because, I mean, these are things that he's saying. And you don't have a gate of a horse in the race to come on the radio and feed misinformation to the public. But, you know, in instances like that, someone would commit suicide. I mean, even though God on your side. But if you're just sitting hopelessly like that, around the type of condition we see, what he's talking about, man. Come on, they still spending money lavishly. And then, you mean tell me now, these things cost so much money. I was telling you now, we could start a poor people association. Obviously, we can need more than poor people to be in this association, but at least it could be like an ASU type system where people come together and help one another.
Yes, sir.
Whether it be community based cookouts or whatever. This is what you got to do, Scoochie.
I know, man.
These medical bills be expensive $15,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, $300,000, $10,000, $50,000, any number you could call. Where you get this kind of money from sitting in the bank?
Every time in the newspaper, you're seeing people want medical funding, you know, little girls, older persons. Can't believe that happened in the country.
People, thank God for some of them, the number houses.
Yeah, who sponsor them, help the people. Yes.
What I'm saying is, they, every time people do something, they want everybody to know. But I hear in the community, a small man like me, I notice people borrowing money more, and people are asking for money more. Strangers calling me and all. They hear me on the radio, they wave. I don't call nobody, but I'm saying is,
me too. A lot of people reach out, so I let people know.
Scoochie, man.
I pour, but I.
You'll be reduced to beggars, Scoochie.
Yes. That's
people glorifying eggs, my brother. We are being reduced, Scoozy. You, me and you, I ain't got to buy that much. But I never see so much beggars in all my life. The young cats, everybody feel as if, and the country's so mashed up. Let me show you the state of the country. I hear a young fella kind of really like let everybody know, like bragging about having an ankle bracelet on his feet. So I mean, on his foot, one of his foot. So I mean, one of his feet. So I'm disappointed in that. You know, they glorifying this BS. So everything good.
That's because it's mindset. Their mindset. See, they're not thinking irrationally. They're thinking about what the street has teach them. You know, they are not thinking as a person who wants a future. They are completely corrupted. They are complete. The generation now, especially those guys who you're talking about, they ain't really thinking straight. You know, they their world is violence. Their world is impressing. You know, they ain't thinking about 10 years down the line, your mom's sick, right? Light bill off, or they ain't planning to have no future, you know. They're just caught up on the street. So that's who has to change the mindset of these individuals in these communities, man. Because you got a lot of sick people out there, and a lot of people are not thinking positive. And then you got a lot of people who are men, who say they're men, 35, 40, 50, 60. And guess what? They ain't no man. They thinking just like a 15, 16, 17-year-old. So the mindset in the country has to get back its core value, you know, and that's prosperity, happiness, kindness, love, and helping one another, you know, and to get all this anger out of us. I just want to comment on something real quick. Again, I want to comment on something real quick. You know, with all these government initiatives, you know, all looks good. But at the end of the day, you know, he talked about 160,000 to get free medicine, you know, 52 is referring to that. And then Chris was saying, you know, that's half in the nation. You know, that's some serious stuff, you know, for human people. That's crazy, you know. You know how much people out there are sick? That means that we're eating unhealthy. That means we're going to have to be educating young age, teenagers, and teach them about nutrition, eating healthy, changing our food diet, what not to eat, even though you could eat it, you might eat it once or twice a week. If you could water it all along, you're going to have to do that. But I just want to say this real quick. You know, I look at the scenario and I come to this conclusion. Think about this, Bahamian people. Both political parties, you know, have been doing this for many years. I was one, and many people might not understand this, I was the one who recommend allowances for MPs. Go back 15 years ago, you would see me talking about it on Gems Radio, and these ideas I put forth, what I told them, so that these MPs can be able to help people in the community. And then it was Hubert Ingham who actually listened, and he came back and he gave them snipings, like $120,000 per year. Now, I'd just like to say this to the general public. Even though that was a good gesture by the Prime Minister, it was a step in the right direction because MPs was not receiving nothing to do community work in their communities. You can use this money to help empower community persons like myself who are in these communities, who are programs and stuff like that, was supposed to be utilized from the MP to the community, residents, churches, persons who are doing back to school, whatever the situation is, if the person fits the criteria, they were supposed to receive funding by the allowance that Hubert Ingham introduced, if I'm correct. So, to me, think about this. I think that we are not thinking straight. We have persons in government who were retirees, right, receiving their pension and their national insurance. Now they're given an option to come back to work for government with a government contract, and some totaling over $100,000 plus perks, and plus they were receiving their pension and their national insurance payment for their contribution over the years. Well, that is all good. But look how much money that is in that one instance. Let me show you why we are being so disrespectful in the country and we can't even figure it out. We are delusional as well. Okay, just let's look at those 400 to 500 persons they're bringing back. And we look at the budget for that 1 year. Okay. Well, let's say that's 400 or 500 persons. And if you look at the budget, let's give a little estimate. I sure as over $2 million, $3 million, right? If I'm correct. Just saying. I just saying. I could be close. Now, That is only 400 persons. The representative for being a grandstand, the Honorable Wade Watson. Okay? I guess using him for example. Or the minister, Jumbo Campbell. They receive an annual of $150,000 or $160,000 per year. And they get that like every physical. They get it every 3 months, where they get like, I think, $15,000 or something like that every month or so to do community work in the inner city community, right? $150,000. But we have 400 retiree pensioners and national insurance us benefiting, right? Now we get a community where like 30, 40, probably 50,000 people living in this community, right? The minister gets $150,000 to do what? Now, Minister Watson is doing the best that he can, okay? With his $150,000 and then using his own private sponsors to do some other programs in the community, funerals and et cetera. He has many funerals every year. I heard about how he pays for the persons in the community. He might not pay the full funeral arrangement, but he gives some to the many families who have lost loved ones in this community that he resides in. Okay, he does that and he does that other stuff. But $150,000? To do what? $150,000 only you have two or three or four or five families? You know? This is a slap in the face of BMN people, so this is what we're voting for us to go and say the MP is going to give us $150,000, but yet still, we look at the 400 to 500 retirees who were former government employees, who were public servants, who already saved their pensions, who already saved their national insurance, coming back. And the money that is being spent on them is nowhere close to the 50,000 people or the 40,000 people who live in Bain Grandstand. So how is that 400 persons could make more money than a whole entire community? Y'all think about this. 150. So I'm recommending that the government increase the allowances for constituency allowances to at least about $2 million per year for these communities of Bain and Grandstand, Angleston, with population of over 30, 40,000 people. You know, because what you see on the voters register is not all the people who reside in the community. Because if you look at the voter, or if you look at the people who register, that was only a couple thousand. But if you look how much people live in the community who have not registered, who have not voted, it runs into the thousands. Okay? The thousands, thousands, the thousands, the thousands. Okay? So let's increase the allowances for MPs so they can do more in these communities, so they can introduce small businesses, they could fix houses, they could keep the programs active on the park all year. They could hire guys to fix the houses, they could hire guys to clean the streets, you know? $150 is a slap in our face, gaming people. You know? When we're talking about constituency allowances, each MP should be looking at anywhere from $2 million, especially in high-dense populated areas in the inner city community that needs the assistance and needs the funds, and make sure that the fund goes directly to strictly community development. Strictly to community development. At the end of the year, the minister could say, I have helped assist 100 persons with small businesses. I have fixed 50 houses in this 1 year. I've helped employed so many young men. You know, I bought a garbage truck. You know, this is what we need. $150,000 is a slap in our face. You know, Perry Christie, who was the former prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Hubert Alexander Ingram, who's the former prime minister of this country, they receive that type of pension on a yearly basis. So you're trying to tell me two prime ministers combined together makes like $300,000 per year. And we're giving a community that has 50,000 people in it $150,000 to the member of parliament, Mr. Watson. Mr. Watson's doing all he can. And any MP comes there after that, even the Free National Movement, my boy. Talking too much. Oh, excuse me. You know, my boy, who called in a few minutes ago, if he come to representative, you can't give him $150,000. $150,000 can't help. These MPs need millions of dollars, at least $1 to $2 million per year. So in their 10, just 5 years, they have at their disposal at least $10 million to help develop their community. That's how I feel about it. You know, if we want to take it to the next notch. Because it's the Bahamian taxpayers' money anyway. And the government is doing nothing for you free. All that is the Bahamian taxpayers. All these programs are the Bahamian taxpayers' money. Everything that you see they're talking about and this and that is the Bahamian taxpayers' money. So they're not doing us a favor. Okay? But we like the fact that they're doing their job. But like I said, they're not doing us no favor. If they give you a contract, all the people who get contract out there, that's your money anyway. So if someone give you a contract, but only because you're connected, you get it. You have to be a special person to get the contract. So that's the only makes a different rate there. But guess what? That's your money. All these contracts given out in the country, eh? That's your money. That comes out the treasury. Just remember that. So I just want to say that. I think that all MPs, their constituency allowance should be raised to $2 million. And when they receive this money, on a yearly basis, they're going to have to give an account. And they have to show proof of the success of the program. So in 5 years' time, you can see a lot of progress. So I'm Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio. And again, we want the government to give us free electricity, free cable, free water, and reduce what to zero in this country. And then from there, I think we could work out the logistics from there. If we could get a government who can find a way, it's very difficult. But if we could, it would change the landscape of our country. So I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. To all the callers, all the listeners, I appreciate you guys. And I'll see you next week on Guardian Radio. I want to give a shout out to my good friend, Elroy Bryce, and to the whole Bahamas, you guys. You all enjoy yourself, okay? But remember, it starts with you. Don't sit around, strategize, ask more, look and see what your community needs. And what can be adjusted, and make a presentation as a group to all the representatives that come in your community to ask you for your vote in the next general election. We said both parties are the same, but maybe if you come up with your own strategy and ask for things that is beneficial to your community, hey, then you make change. So I want to thank you again for having the time, thank you again for listening to me tonight on Guiding Radio. And I hope to see you guys next week if God spare life. Enjoy.
What are you doing to me, man? Oh, look. Again?
I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.